SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you right here on Sports Grid. This is hour number two of the early line. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wrightside. We'll take a look at the NFL. We know that we are now less than 1 week away from the draft. The expectation that some level of big trade could be coming. Maybe Deebo Samuel is the big name on the move. But we've wondered, could Kyler Murray, Donnie, potentially leave Arizona? Well, Steve Klein, the general manager over there in Arizona, said zero chance. The Cardinals will trade Kyler Murray. Donnie, are you buying that there is no chance Kyler Murray has moved on from Arizona?
No, because he would already have a deal, right? There's no chance. You know what no chance means for me from a ownership group? We love this guy. We have an open blank check. He just doesn't want it. I want to pay him more money than Aaron Rodgers got and also Patrick Mahomes. He just doesn't want it here. Then I'm like, oh, that's kind of interesting that it figures out. But it sounds like the Arizona Cardinals are saying, which you have every right as a business owner to do, Kyler, before I write you a blank check for $45 million a year, I need to see you more engaged. I need to see you when the times get tough. You're not tucking and running and you're getting along with your teammates. But in today's NFL, you are what you are. And if you are already a superstar quarterback like Kyler Murray is and you're up for a contract, you expect and you think you deserve to get that contract immediately. No home down discount. Make sure I'm taken care of, which does go a long way, because if you do pay the quarterback, you go, hey, you know what? I'm wanted here and I am the leader of this team and let's go out and win some football games. But I love the zero chance. The zero chance doesn't make any sense, because you wouldn't still be having a quarterback wiping his social media, looking elsewhere, maybe trying to work out a trade with another team if you thought there was zero chance. Zero chance means how much do you want? Great. Here's a check. Enjoy the rest of your life.
Look, the thing is, you would think that, I mean, I guess he's going to give that level of a comment, Donnie, but I don't know how you could even take, you know, him at his word. To be honest with you, I don't actually know how Steve Klein has a job. To be very he drafted a quarterback in the top 15 with a brand new head coach and was able, Donnie, to move on from both after one season and bring in a new coach and a new quarterback. Like, GMs never get that level of flexibility. He did okay, so fine. But we know, Donnie, right, that often we hear the, oh, this guy can't be moved on from. Oh, interesting. That means there's a problem here, right? Bidwell, the owner. Ah, yeah, you know, I mean, it's just the product of social media, you know. Wait, man, the product. You guys won't offer him an extension. You extended Cliff. You keep, like, he is putting out statements trying to prove to people that he wants to be in Arizona, but he's not really sure where the relationship is. And there was a really interesting move, I thought, from Kyler yesterday, Donnie. Maybe I'm reading a little too much into this. You tell me. Kyler Murray sent out a tweet, right? That read, I just thought this was so interesting, that read, I want to be in Arizona. I want to win Super Bowls with the Cardinals. AZ is home. And that's the headline, right? That tweet, that I want to, but it was a quote tweet, Donnie, of a video of Patrick Peterson. And the caption of that video was Patrick Peterson basically saying the Cardinals are not doing enough to put Kyler Murray in a position to succeed. Now, I guess you could try and say that Kyler is trying to debunk what Patrick Peterson is putting forward. I think that's an optimistic spin. The radio audience, by the way, is here Friday morning. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside, the early line, Sirius XM, channel 159. You know the deal. It is what it is. We're talking Kyler Murray. Donnie, am I crazy here? If you're Kyler Murray and you want to put the point across that you want to be in Arizona, do you need to quote tweet a clip of Pat Peterson dragging the organization?
No, probably not, but I guess you're trying to be a little bit vindictive while putting your best foot forward at the same time to say, hey, look, I love Arizona, but to a degree, you guys got to help me out a little bit here by giving me more money. But also, here's the thing. Like, does it surround you with, like, the right talent? I don't know what talent he's talking about. There's a ton of talent on that offense, and certainly with an offensive coordinator, it's going to let him do whatever he wants, whether it's running the football, passing the football, and being in a high-octane offense. The interesting thing here is now is, you know, Aaron Rodgers gave me a different perspective in the NFL and got me back to what the NFL is really about. It's about making money. It's a business. How much money can I make? And we'll see where everything else falls around you. Because if you ask Kyler Murray, you're going to take a home down discount so you can keep DeAndre Hopkins happy with another new contract that he's probably going to be getting over the next 6 months? And also, can you bring in somebody else to help me here? Or is it, I want to make my money. We'll figure out the rest once I make my money. And certainly right now, he is in I want my money mode.
And let's just, right, be very clear about this, because the game is the game. In the way, Donnie, that as things maybe between Kyler and Arizona are not going well, all of a sudden there's some water carrying, let's be honest, by NFL reporters for the Arizona Cardinals. Kyler's a headache, and I don't know if he's got the maturity level to be a franchise quarterback, and this, that, and the third. And now what's Kyler doing? Let me get that narrative from you. Arizona, I love you. I love you. I'll never want to play football anywhere else. He, Donnie, replied to the Rappaport tweet of the Klein quote saying zero chance he's traded. Because what happens now, Donnie, if they still refuse to pay him and he's traded, whose fault is it? They're not Kyler's. He keeps telling you he wants to be there.
Yeah.
This story is not over until Kyler Murray is extended. If the Cardinal, listen, I mean, we just said, you love us, we love you, right? Sports Grid invented the saying. We invented the saying.
Yes.
The Cardinals are up. Everyone's saying it, Donnie, but there's no follow back Friday coming here from the Arizona Cardinals. Interesting scenes. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on Sports Grid, where during the break, Donnie is picking on fifth grade Kevin Walsh. And I got to tell you, folks, this is an ugly scene. From a 1DRS. I mean, the people here at Sports Grid, Don, I'm trying to get, you know, trying to maybe get some basketball games going, and Donnie's just, he's worried about my jersey side. Jersey size. I don't appreciate this very much, though, Mr. Right Side.
No, but yeah, so all the hitman like pictures, should I rock this out and what this happens? So I feel like I, you know,
I
sometimes
gotta,
you see tweets go by, you say, I want to, like, you know, message this or go back. Hey, you know what? Press send on that. Let's see where this goes.
Yeah, I got to tell you something, man. I mean, a fantastic tank top. The reaction I was anticipating was nice tank top. And basically company-wide email that said, there ain't no way that kid can fit into that tank top. I thought it was some outrageous behavior, Donnie. I really did. I couldn't believe
it. I mean, one of those
things. I mean, it was company-wide. Like,
I'm thinking there's some people in upper management right now with a robe and a coffee mug going, you know what? That's the best. That guy should be a stand-up comedian right there. He gets in every single time, man. Now that's what I saw. You saw, like, hey, look at that tank top. You know, Brett Hitman Hart. Other people see that. Wait a second here. Let me question what this the validity of this tank top is here.
I mean, I was literally getting we got to see you in that tank top. Come on now, please. That's what people were saying. Yeah. I got to start an only, Kev, and start selling photos of me in unflattering tank tops. Reds Cardinals here, Don. Yeah. No, what? Man, this guy drives me nuts. Hunter Green, Steven Matz, man. Hunter Green and Steven Matz, Donnie. A combination of a couple of pitchers that the expectations are ever-changing, right? Like, Steven Matz was supposed to be, you know, a great pitcher coming up through the Mets organization. He's kind of settled in, it felt like, at least, or he kind of did settle in Toronto. Off to a rocky start, though, right now, where the game against Pittsburgh has the season-long numbers looking really bad. Hunter Green was someone that I know the Reds were very excited about as he's now up here for his first, you know, season in the bigs. What do you see here, Don, with Reds Cardinals?
Not very many runs, and that's why I brought it up, right? Because, like, well, look at this barn burner here between the Cardinals and the Reds. And I just wanted to put a focus here on the Reds, because typically when you see Steven Matz on the mound, who is a left-handed pitcher, you say, okay, let's get a team that can absolutely stack up right-handed batters and get after him. well, the Reds are going to be able to stack up right-handed batters. But take a look at this. Now that we're getting, you know, at least, you know, 10, 15, 20, sometimes 25 at-bats here against lefties, which they'll start to stack up and they'll help us later in the year as we can certainly see which teams actually can hit lefties and can't. Well, the Reds can't really hit much of anything. And the reason I bring this game up is Mats opened up the season here with an xFIP number of 2.39, which is very good. Handling his business versus lefty and righty batters. Strikeout percentage here, Kevin, 28% of the batters he's faced, he struck out. And walk percentage, only 2.6, which is phenomenal. Now, if we look at the Reds lineup today, Joey Votto, Colin Moran look like the only lefties that are going to be available here. But let's take a look at the weighted on base percentage of this Reds juggernaut versus left-handed pitching this year. Keep in mind, if we're taking a look here at going over with a weighted on base percentage of around 320 to 325, which is average, and an ISO power number of 0.175 is about average. Let's look at the ISO power number first. Farmer, 0.056. Votto, 0. Senzel, 0. Aquino, 0. Moran, 0. Lopez, 0. Garcia, 0. I don't know if I've ever seen that here. And it's not like, hey, we're dealing with one or two at-bats. Some of these guys have 23, 22, 16 at-bats against left-handed pitching. So basically, you have a bunch of pitchers coming to the plate today to face off against Steven Matz. So I don't care what the over-under this game is. There's no way I can take an over knowing a team is that bad at the plate versus a left-handed starter. Maybe Matz dominates today, but one of those games where I would look to the under just because the Reds are putrid against left-handed pitching.
And maybe you can sneak out, Donnie, a quick winner here with no runs in the first inning. Only minus 114 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Matz in both starts, a spotless first. Same for Hunter Green. Young season, small sample size, but you have to go off of something there. If you like under, no runs in the first inning at a minus 114, could certainly be a direction you might want to go. Brewers-Phillies, Donnie. The Phillies closed out in Coors with a little bit of momentum, but they're going to need to carry it now back in their home ballpark here. It's Ranger Suarez and Freddy Peralta, 7.5. It's going to be a long time, Donnie, before I look at a Phillies game at 7.5 and think anything other than what? It has to be an over. But what do you see, Donnie, in this Brewers-Phillies game here today?
Yep, let's stick with the common theme here. A left-handed pitcher on the mound in Ranger Suarez, who hasn't had, quite frankly, a very good start to the season with his xFIP number at a 5.43. Now, granted, it's only through 38 batters that he's faced, and right-handed batters have actually done decently against him with a 388 weighted on-base percentage. So, same thing that I just talked about with the Reds. Let's take a look to see how this Brewers lineup, which I always say, like, you treat it kindly by saying, hey, they might be able to get some timely hitting, which, again, is code for they can't hit the baseball. Maybe they'll walk into one, because for left-handed bat pitchers that they face this year, take a look at these ISO power numbers, Kevin. You ready? For the first seven in your lineup, when you're trying to take a look at no runs in the first inning or yes runs in the first inning, 0.077, 0, 0.083, 0.083, 0, 0.100, zero. I mean, it doesn't get, this is crazy. Like Christian Yelich right now, 13 at bats for his left-handed pitching this year, a 0.083 ISO power number and a 280 weighted on base percentage. Another one of those games where maybe in a different life or a different month of the season, the Phillies would be able to just hit by themselves and get this total. But looking at this lineup for the Brewers, they struggle so, so much here. And Peralta is a strikeout pitcher. Another under might be on tap today with the Phillies and the Brewers.
Certainly could be the case. One guy I think has a nice day is Nick Castellanos. Saw a lot of Freddy Peralta last year as a member of the Cincinnati Reds and saw him well. 7 of 13 at the dish with 5 of the 7 hits going for extra bases, 4 doubles and a home run, plus 115 for 2 plus bases for Nick Castellanos is a great look if you are someone who is willing to trust prior matchup success here. Fred, there are few guys that, again, you can always want to expand the sample size. That is, I mean, domination from a guy like Nick Castellanos there versus Freddy Peralta. Certainly worth your attention, I think, here on today's board. Rockies, Tigers, Donnie, part of the story, of course, will be Miguel Cabrera still trying to hunt down hit number 3,000. I'm sure, you know, it's a minus 240 price. A lot of people are going to look to maybe throw it in some parlays. Maybe we'll get a boost on FanDuel in some relation to a Cabrera hit. But it's going to be Skubal and Senzel. I got to tell you, I feel like this is a surprising number if I go off of what I used to know about these pitchers, Donnie. I wouldn't think Tarik Skubal, even if we're going to be in Detroit, would be favored over Senthen Zella. But what's your reaction when you see the lines here today for Tigers-Rockies?
Yay! How about this, Kevin? Maybe another look at an under today? Well, Skubal's actually been very good to open the season, a 3.10 xFIP number. If we take a look through 42 batters, Kevin, he's been very good. He is a left-handed pitcher, dominant versus lefties, a 124 weighted on base percentage. And if you take a look at the right-hand batters, a 317. So it's been good. If you look at that lineup overall, the Colorado hitters, not a great lineup that's going to face him today. And also, sometimes you take some of that juice out of the Rockies lineup once they leave Coors Field. But let's flip it over, because another one of these ridiculous lineups that we have posted. Senzatella has a 5.65 xFIP on the season. Right-handed batters have peppered him. Here's the question. He's dominated, Kevin, against left-handed batters, and you're going to probably get six left-handed batters in the lineup today for the Tigers. I'll keep this simple here. Let's look at the ISO power numbers for the anticipated lineup today for the Tigers going against a right-handed pitcher. 0, 083, 139, 083, 067, 158, 130, 067, and zero. Baseball, wake up! Are we really waiting till May right now? What are these lineups?
Yeah, this is, I mean, is every game going to be an under? Like, we're coming up against the break. Like, we're coming up against the break. We'll come back. There's going to have to be an over somewhere. I mean, how is every team playing today? I mean, there's... That wasn't nice. Now that was not nice. That was not. But it's he's not
it's
wrong.
Good way to get to the
break. But it wasn't nice. But it wasn't nice. It was nicer than the comments about my nice tank top, though.
Ooh. Back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the early line, NBA preview is going to be coming on up, but we want to hit some more of this Major League Baseball board. Tons of fun games, new sets today start up as well, which is always exciting. I like the turning of the page on the board here. So Donnie, let's go to Red Sox Rays. We're in Tampa Bay for this one. First time these teams will meet. It's Kluber and Waka, who are both off to pretty solid starts this season. I would say minus 140 range here on Tampa Bay. Eight is now your total, down actually from an 8.5 this morning. What do you think about Kluber versus Waka?
Yeah, maybe a dog price here at that plus 120 listed at the FanDuel Sportsbook might make some sense here. Now, Waka early in the season, 35 batters that he's faced. He actually has an xFIP number floating around 5, which isn't good, 4.90. He does have a decent strikeout percentage, Kevin, around 26%, but walking too many batters. So getting a little bit of trouble there with the free passes at 14% free passes, or obviously with walks. But if we take a look here, the thing that is kind of interesting, because you have that high number with the xFIP, so typically you try to relay that into and say, well, what's going wrong here? He does have too many walks that he's giving up here, but he is striking out batters, so they must be getting base hits. That's not necessarily the case. Waka's a right-handed pitcher versus left-handed batters this year, Kevin, a 181 weighted on base percentage and a zero ISO power number. And then if we take a look at right-handed batters, which he's faced 14 this year, 196 weighted on base percentage and a ISO power number of zero. We already know that the Tampa Rays are very challenged on offense, and it's certainly when you're playing down at the Trop, it's not really an offensive environment typically from what you would see at Fenway Park. So if we flip it over and take a look at who's going to be on the mound here for the Rays, it's Corey Kluber, equally high of an xFIP as Michael Waka, 5.24, decent strikeout pitcher, but also giving away too many walks here at 10% of the batters that he's faced. The one issue here is Kluber has done very well versus left-handed batters. 15 of them that he's faced, a 150 weighted on base percentage, but a zero ISO power number. Lefties in the lineup today, Devers, Verdugo, Bradley, and Shaw. So you are going to have at least four of those guys. But on the flip side, Kluber has struggled a little bit here with right-handed batters. 24 that he's faced, a 333 weighted on base percentage, and an ISO power number slightly above average at 0.182. Maybe a dog price here for the Red Sox makes a little bit of sense for me, but also, how can you give up and say, boy, I really like the over down in the Trop today? I don't necessarily like that, but I would lean on a dog price here with the Sox.
Yeah, the numbers are kind of continuing to drop here. The first inning bet's interesting. It's minus 138 on the no's. You're getting plus money on the yes, there is enough pop in these lineups. Kluber has had both of his first innings clean, but Waka actually did not get through one of his games with a clean first inning. So I could see if you like to try and play some more plus money in those first inning options. I think there's certainly some juice around that. It's an interesting spot here in this game overall. The one thing I'll quickly add, just some context on a Corey Kluber, again, for those that like, you know, the batter versus pitcher history, you have to be careful with Kluber because it's kind of just been here and there so much, right, Donnie? Like, you think about how much this guy's actively pitched. He only made it, 16 games with the Yanks. And then it was 8 total games played with 19 and 20. So he's really basically, Donnie, over the last 3 years, played 1 year. So this guy's got a really good history versus Corey Kluber. Yeah, but it happened a long, 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 long time ago. It makes it a little bit more difficult there. We'll keep moving it through. Stick with another game that involves an AL East team here, Donnie, and the Blue Jays. They're going to go to Houston for this one. It's Verlander and Stripling. This is an old-school Verlander price in my eyes, Donnie. Minus 170 range right now on Justin Verlander. Total for this one is 8.5. What do you think about Houston and Toronto?
I actually think it makes some sense here. Maybe that price is justified here at a minus 164 price at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Why? Because Verlander's been very good here in the early season. 3.97 xFIP number for an American League pitcher is great. K percentage, 32%. Walk percentage, 6%. So he's not giving out those free passes. But if we take a look at the breakdowns here, batters from each side of the plate for lefties, Kevin, 29 batters that he's faced so far this season as lefties, 175 weighted on base percentage with an ISO power number of 120. That's fantastic. From the right-hand side, which again, Verlander is a right-handed pitcher, Kevin. 18 batters he's faced, a 251 weighted on base percentage and a .059 ISO power number. We flip that over. Now, here's the interesting part. We're going to go backwards here on Ross Stripling's numbers. He's faced 24 batters early in the season, 12 from the left-hand side, 12 from the right-hand side. He is a right-handed pitcher. So if you look at the left-hand side, a 202 weighted on base percentage with a zero ISO power number. That's great. If we look from the right side here, once again, 12 batters that he's faced as righties, 216 as a weighted on base percentage and an ISO power number of 100. So he's handling his business. You figure that his xFIP would be good. It's not. It's 6.01. And the reason being, strikeout percentage through those 24 batters, Kevin, only 12.5%. Walk percentage, the same identical one at a 12.5% clip. Sooner or later, it looks like Ross Stripling is going to get touched up, and tonight might be that night. Verlander's numbers make me feel a little bit more confident here in the Astros, even though you're not going to have an Jose Altuve. Maybe you can get these Blue Jays fresh off that Boston series, still not scoring a ton of runs. I look forward, even though it's a juicy price tonight, the Astros to take care of their business down in Houston.
Yeah, I think the real question for me is with Justin Verlander, this is the best lineup he'll have seen this year. Angels and Mariners, not slouches. Toronto has a lot more expectations. We'll see if Springer's available for the game. 5 innings, 3 hits, 1 earned, 7 Ks in his first start. And then in the second start, 8 innings, 3 hits, no runs, no walks, 8 strikeouts, and only 87 pitches, by the way, for Justin Verlander. That is ace-level stuff. I'm interested in how that carries over here today versus this Toronto lineup. Their team total is 3.5 at minus 105. That is a rarity to see a Toronto team total that low. Now, to be fair, their offense is quietly leaving a lot more to be desired. It's not quite Yankees level bad, but listen, again, they didn't cover themselves in glory. Despite winning 2 out of 3 from Boston, their output there was not overwhelming either. So a really interesting spot. Angels O's now. Yeah. Los Angeles here, Donnie, a minus 190. Baltimore, I've been involved with plenty of Baltimore games. They might have fixed their pitching. I don't know. Like, they got a bunch of guys, Donnie, that are going out there and pitching well. They really, really do, and it's really bizarre, and it's throwing me off. Their offense is really bad, even though yesterday, for the first time all year long, a Baltimore Oriole game did go over the listed total. What do you think here, Don, with Angels and O's?
Yeah, Zimmerman's the better pitcher on the mound today. 3.42 xFIP. He's done very well versus lefties and righties. But here's the crux of the argument where it bounces around and makes it kind of tough. You see there on the screen, the Angels are a minus 190 favorite. So who do they have on the mound? Syndergaard, Ohtani? No. Detmers will be on the mound with a 5.08 xFIP number. And quite frankly, he's a left-handed pitcher doing exactly what some lefties do. Dominate the left-hand batters they see, and they can't get out a right-handed batter to save their life. If you take a look at Detmer's 24 players that he's faced who are batting from the right-hand side, 480 weighted on base percentage, a 333 ISO power number. Say yourself, sign me up on this. Like this huge dog price here on Baltimore, I think I might be able to steal this. Here's where the argument comes in. Just because a left-handed pitcher is on the mound and you're going to stack eight right-handed batters from the anticipated starting lineup tonight here for the Baltimore Orioles, look at these numbers here with ISO power numbers up and down the board. A 174, a 0, an 056, 118, 118, 067, 0, 077, and another 0. Because we always bring this topic up, just because a bad pitcher's on the mound, he gets raked by righties, and you throw a ton of righties up there, somebody still has to do something. Baltimore hasn't done a single thing against left-handed pitching. They're getting this big price for a reason. Now, do you want to lay that price with the Angels today? Absolutely not. I don't want to do that, but I got to tell you, if they wake up being Baltimore, it will be an anomaly because they can't hit righties, lefties, anything at this point in the season.
It's just so bizarre. Like, the Baltimore Orioles have allowed the tied for the second fewest runs in the American League to start this season. But they have the fewest scored, not just in the American League, but in all of Major League Baseball. Like, that team, they've played one over. Last year just felt like every Baltimore game in some shape or form you thought an over would make some sense. Last one here before the break, I think, Donnie. Padres-Dodgers for the first time this season. Dodgers still remain their status as favorites in all of the games played thus far. Minus 164 right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook here on the road with Urias on the mound. That minus 164 is down from a number that was closer to minus 180. What do you think here, Donnie? Dodgers-Padres.
Yeah, Martinez hasn't shown really up to be a pitcher of record, per se, here in 2022. A 5.77 xFIP number, which when you see that, you should be licking your chops if you are the Dodgers here. And also, equal opportunity chance to smash Martinez. Why is that? Look at the lefty-righty splits here. Lefties, 418 weighted on base percentage and an ISO power number of 368. To righties, Kevin, 435 with a 316 ISO power number. I don't know why that number is dipping down. Urias is a very good pitcher here for the Dodgers. Not as dominant as he's been in the past, but if we're just looking on statistics right now, I don't know how deep Martinez is going to be able to make it into this game with a high xFIP, not striking a lot of guys out, walking too many, and extended weighted on base averages to both lefties and righties. Seems like a Dodgers night to me, Kevin.
Yeah, I think you could probably even take a look, Donnie, at Julio Urias' strikeout prop here. It's 4.5. It's a little expensive at a minus 128, but some of the numbers line up there. He's had prior success versus this lineup, but I know the first start versus Colorado was not what you were looking for, but he did bounce back versus Cincinnati. Five innings of clean baseball for the most part, only allowed one hit, one walk, struck out five in that spot. The interesting thing with him, 57 pitches, 65 pitches in two starts. It's tough to bet strikeout props if I'm going to get capped at around 70 pitches. NBA preview.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
NBA preview. I want to start in Chicago. I know it's a little out of order, but bear with me here. Chris Middleton is done for this series. Chris Middleton very well could be done for the next series. We're not sure just yet. Things obviously do not look great. Milwaukee's a 2.5-point favorite here in Chicago. The total for this one is 222.5. The spoiler, if at all, is I really think this is just a phenomenal spot to back the Chicago Bulls. But there's another spot, Donnie, that has plus money that I think is equally as phenomenal. We mentioned updated series spreads are fantastic. The Dallas Mavericks one worked as well as you could imagine. +2.5 games. They won the next two games. That is done and dusted. Literally none of the series matters. You won your ticket. You should be paid out accordingly. The Milwaukee Bucks, Donnie, on this series spread now. Remember, pre-series, 2.5 minus 180 range. Not right. Yeah. Such a big number. That is now 1.5 at plus 118. That is the Bucks to win this series in 6 or less games. With respect to the Chicago Bulls, the Bucks are still markedly better. The Bucks have played and beat this team without Chris Middleton. They've played plenty of basketball this year without Chris Middleton. They have been a phenomenal, and I mean a phenomenal, road favorite throughout the year, Donnie. I think there's wonderful value on backing the Bucks to win this in 6 or less.
That's interesting, yeah, because most people normally you'd say to yourself, okay, I just watched this series, you know, even up on the way back to Chicago. I also watch a key injury for the Milwaukee Bucks. How do I find up and line up a ticket here on the Chicago Bulls when you're saying, like, hold on now. You know, everybody still gets paid, and this is a very deep team because if Middleton or no Middleton, this team is still a much deeper and more talented team overall than the Chicago Bulls. And, oh, yeah, they did win the championship last year, so they have a little bit of playoff metal to go along with some of this adversity that you might run through. If you remember last year, it looked like Giannis's leg basically snapped in half, and he got lucky and was able to come back later in his series and still perform at a high level. The Bucks should be able to win this game, which is also interesting here. Are we getting also a discount here? -2.5 in this game. What would it have been if Middleton did not get injured? And let's just say the Chicago Bulls still played here. I don't think there would have been much difference overall, Kevin, right? We're not looking at, oh, if Middleton was playing tonight, it would be a 4.5 price. I don't think that would be the case here. So if we're just looking at it as a one game off, I do think you get a home bounce here from the Chicago Bulls crowd, but maybe it's one of those bounces like we saw with the Minnesota Timberwolves. You might want to take them in the first quarter, maybe the first half, then the cream would rise to the top, and we're expecting Giannis to go over his 30 points here as he typically does. 16 rebounds wouldn't certainly be a surprise to us one way or another, but I find it interesting here that you still think that even without Middleton, forget about the game tonight as a one-off, that you still think they should be able to close them out in 6 games or less or take it that way. I actually think this game or this series might get extended because I'm anticipating the Chicago Bulls winning one of these games in Chicago to send it back to Milwaukee at least 2-2. But if I'm looking from a betting perspective, I'm going to go a little bit against the grain here where most people, as I said, look towards somehow taking the Chicago Bulls tonight for the full game. I don't know if that's the case. I think Milwaukee can win this game and will win this game tonight. And if they're going to win, they better be covering that 2.5 here.
Yeah, and here's the thing, and obviously, right, like that would be nightmare. She laid 2.5 points. Whenever the money line, though, is in range, minus 138 is probably worth not dealing with a 1 or 2 point win here on the Milwaukee Bucks. My thing, Donnie, and again, I do not really trust the Bucks to win a title, make it out of the East without Chris Middleton. They should be able to get past the Chicago Bulls. I have a hard time believing that the Chicago Bulls went, you know, LeBron Cavs, the overpowered Warriors, like these Brooklyn Nets, Donnie, the regular season, don't bother us. We'll just wake up in the playoffs, rock around. Right, Donnie? We were so low on the Chicago Bulls coming in, and I get it. They were fantastic in game 2, and they competed in game number 1. I understand both of those things here. I think this is as focused of a Milwaukee as you get. And again, Donnie, 66% of their games as a road favorite, they covered. Forget winning. They covered in this spot. The Chicago Bulls, 4-8 against the number as a home underdog this season. It's not a spot that Chicago has signed. And the last point I'll add here before we hit some props in this game, Donnie, even if this goes 2-2, right? Even if this goes 2-2, most people would still say, all right, well, Milwaukee wins game 5, which then to me puts your worst case scenario, plus 118 Bucks money line in game number 6. And I think you'll be fine with that. I think you would take that if you're looking to back the Milwaukee Bucks here in this series. Props-wise, Donnie, I think a lot of eyes will be on Giannis without Middleton. His points prop tonight checks in at 34.5.
Man,
I can't get there. I can't get there. I get it. I understand that because it was 32.5 with Middleton playing. I can't get over 34.5 though.
That's a big number here. Yesterday, you know, sort of take a look at guys as opposed to being at home and on the road. Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies still won the game, but Ja Morant came nowhere close to scoring the 30 points he needed for his points prop. Now, can Giannis get the 35 points? Absolutely. But also, you're anticipating a big night for Giannis, but so are the Chicago Bulls, where maybe you're swaying a little bit more defense over in his direction to say, okay, let's say you can't beat us. Let's make some of the players around you beat them. The reason I bring that up is if Middleton is not there, that's a lot of shots. That's a lot of three-point shots. You know, that you're talking about maybe between that 17 to 24 point range that's going to be up for grabs for somebody else or to be spread around, which is always brings me up to Jrue Holiday here at a 21.5 price at the FanDuel Sportsbook at a minus 104. Somebody's going to have to step up. We know Giannis's usage rate is going to be high, but if I'm the Chicago Bulls, I make everybody else beat us but Giannis and see if they can do it. So that's going to lean on Jrue Holiday. I think his points prop to the over makes some sense here, Kevin, at 21.5.
Yeah, I've seen you. Donnie's, by the way, do this a lot this year. He's climbed the ladder plenty of times on a Jrue Holiday and a I need somebody to step up spot there, and it's worked out nicely. Here's a number you take a look at, though, on Giannis. His assist prop is 6.5. It's minus 140. It's a little bit expensive. Plus 370 for a triple-double. I'd like 5-1. I'm surprised it's as low as it is, but it kind of goes to show the increase here is not just in scoring. Giannis is going to be increased across the board without Giannis. So that's going to be, or without Middleton, obviously. So that's going to be something interesting to follow. Just one more quick mention to DeMar DeRozan. Game number one, he disappointed, but we said he'd come back to him in game number two. 41 points. Points props up to 29.5. It's climbing the ladder. He could still, here's the thing. He's going to get 30 plus in one of these two games in Chicago. If you want, I think you could also play it live. Let it, you know, see kind of what tempo he sets. Donnie, Atlanta, Miami. Now, with this spot here, I'm surprised by one thing. The Trae Young points prop, 27.5. I thought the book would over-adjust to Trae Young going back home. They have not. I am not scared by it. I know we give Miami's defense a world of respect. I think the Trae Young number is simply wrong. He averages 30 a game, over 30 a game, at home this season. I think of anything that we're going to talk about in this game, the Trae Young points prop catches my eye the most. What about you?
Yeah, and also, you're talking about points prop here. The one thing that we always bring up, right? If you look at the line itself, it's actually telling you, like, Atlanta Hawks are really going to be in this game, and this is the game they have to take, because if they don't win this game, it's probably going to be a 4-0 sweep, because the point of Atlanta putting in all this effort only to go to back to Miami. But maybe, hey, you go to back to Miami, you get at least one more night to party, so maybe that's incentive if they're down 0-3 in the series to send it back and play in Miami. But if I'm looking from a points perspective, I hear you on this. It's always hard to go against, or at least for me, during the regular season, a team that's playing against the Miami Heat where I'm trying to get a points prop or a three-point prop to go home here. But I have to tell you, it's a little bit expensive. If we think Trae Young is going to have a big night, and you flip on ESPN, TNT, TBS, whoever is doing the game here and showing you the highlights, how many times are you going to say, look at Trae Young, it's going off, logo shot, three ball, down and good. His three-point prop is 2.5. It's a minus 156 price, as I said, is a little bit expensive, but there's no way tonight that Trae Young is going to approach his points prop with 1 3-point shot made. It's not happening here. He is going to pull up from the logo, which means he's going to do whatever it takes and put his team on his shoulders tonight. The usage rate will be there. I think he knocks down at least 3 triples tonight. So I'll take the over 2.5 at a juicy minus 156 price.
And I know sometimes people don't mind. I mean, it's heavy, heavy correlation. So you're not really upping the ante a ton, but you could try and parlay those. And if you believe that they're going to grab one of these games, which is totally reasonable, right? Could you grab Trae Young 30-plus and a Hawks win at plus 320, huge number, and bet it both games, Donnie? And you only need one. That's not bad, I don't think, at least. Now, Miami is live for the sweep. Miami is not going to hand them a game. Trae Young scoring 35 is not even going to just simply guarantee a victory, but it's something to consider that if you believe the Hawks are going to get one, I think it has to come with Trae Young 30-plus, plus 320. It's not a bad spot here in the game. How about the last one, Donnie? Suns Pels. Man, a part of me truly almost wanted to burn the clock and not get to this. I am unbelievably torn on this basketball game. I really am. I find myself, you know, somewhat torn on the series. The confidence and conviction that I have around the Milwaukee Bucks being absolutely fine despite the Middleton injury is not one that I have right now around the Phoenix Suns. Maybe that's an overreaction. Maybe that is a big-time mistake. I defer to you at the moment, Don, as I gather my thoughts. What do you think here on Suns Pels?
Yeah, I'm not giving up on the Suns at this point. We've seen them all year long go through adversity and still increase their lead in the Western Conference here, taking down that number one seed. Just because Devin Booker has gone and lost, and they lost game number two, there's not, oh, the Suns not going to come up. Get that pun right there. The Sun is coming up. They're going to win this basketball game tonight. And you know why? It's going to be on Chris Paul's shoulders. Chris Paul knows. There's a narrative out there. Oh, look, I just can't get lucky in the playoffs, and it is what it is. So another year down the drain for Chris Paul. Not going to get a chance to live out his fantasy and win an NBA championship and ride off into the sunset. Not so fast tonight. His points props listed at 20.5. How many times look like, yeah, sounds about right. 18 points, 14 assists, really get that offense going. Devin Booker's not there. He knows he has to score more. So his points go up, his assist numbers go down, and I'll take that. Chris Paul will be scoring 21 points or more tonight to cash in on that ticket.
Yeah, it makes some sense there, right? I think, man, I think there's a lot of interesting spots here in this game. I do think the Suns handle their business here in New Orleans, though. There's a level of confidence around this group, Donnie, that they have earned throughout the season to believe that they will close the door. I think, you know, we look at a 1.5 right now, Donnie. Is it more likely that this game kind of lands pick or at 2, 2.5? I think it's more likely to land 2.5 as well. Again, it's so funny, Donnie, because, you know, the Chris Paul double-double, right, and the win, like they didn't grab either one of those last games. That's back to plus 134. You expect the usage to be so high around for CP3 now. The thing that gets very interesting is how taxing this all can become, though, on a Chris Paul. Chris Paul's not a guy that has been, you know, he's been very healthy, actually, since he's left Houston, which is a shame for that Rockets organization. But, man, it is a lot that's going to be put on Chris Paul here in this series. It's fascinating. The fact that we're even talking about this, though, Donnie, right? I'm like, this is a sweep. I don't even know why they're playing this series here. It's really, really fun stuff. Really, really excited for the NBA games tonight. A lot of good stuff will be happening over the weekend as well. But before we get there, you got to listen up to Donnie.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey now, last segment of the week here for the Early Line, right here on SiriusXM channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. Both myself, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Walsh, as usual, carrying you through the entire week, setting you up for this weekend before we hand it over to Ben Stevens and the morning after. Now, typically you read this headline, Judge can't save the Yankees. No, Aaron Judge had a bad night, did he? But not this time. An actual Judge hasn't been able to save the Yankees. So listen up here. Cheating scandals all the way around Major League Baseball. Just a few years where we take a look at, oh, darn it, you Astros, you cheated this time, whether you had buzzers on your chest or you were banging trash cans, stealing signs, and using spider tack. Other Major League Baseball teams apparently were doing the same thing, looking at the Boston Red Sox and also the New York Yankees. Now, the interesting part about this is sometimes you cut deals behind the scenes with under the influence of, okay, tell us what you know. This will never get out. We just need this for our investigation, and we'll seal it, and it'll never see the light of day. So the teams, most of them participated in this and basically, I guess, got some things sealed as opposed to the Houston Astros. But the Yankees now are in the crosshairs because apparently a letter from Rob Manfred detailing everything that went down in this sign-stealing scandal with the New York Yankees, which was sent to Brian Cashman, now is up for grabs, where the Yankees never wanted to see the light of day, and that looks like it will see the light of day. And I can't wait to find out what is actually in this letter. Who cheated? Who did it? Where they did it? How many times they did it? When did Major League Baseball know? In under 7 days, we should get an answer, which is fascinating and could have a ripple effect, because the Yankees are basically saying now, don't hold this against us when this comes out and there's more fallout down the line. I'm all here for fallout. I wish it came out here on a news dump Friday, and we could talk about it here on the money line a little bit later today. What is actually in that letter? What do we not know that we are going to find out in just a couple of days? I can't wait to find out. But in order to do that, time's going to have to go by, which means you're watching Ben Stevens up next right here on The Morning After, live on the Sports Grid Network.